Hey everyone! Welcome
Hi.
back to ADHD Explorers. I am Addie and this is my co-host Ben. And today we are going to be talking to you about the idea of reframing or adjusting your words to change the idea behind a topic. What is it that you said, Ben, about the power of words and how they work?
Well, I'll tell you, but here comes the intro. Two old team together and we'll make it through. I've been going solo for all too long, man. It's time to move on. ADHDers. What I was gonna say is that words are the programming language of the brain. Like, that's a concept from NLP, you know. NLP is like called neuro-linguistic programming, you know, just a big words to just say that words are the programming language of the brain. And I kind of wanted to explore this because I've been like, you know me, I've been trying to implement this like habit of exercise. And I feel like I want to share this topic of like what has actually helped me make a positive movement towards that, which has been reframing the concept of exercise. I think that we all get these like, like, but when we learn words, we all learn like their like connotations or like everything that's associated with them. And for me, when I hear the word exercise, I feel, oh, that's a lot of effort. I don't want to do that. Like, that's like the, I don't know, that's like a not helpful relationship, right? So what I've done is I've kind of rebranded exercise as movement. Right? And then it doesn't have any of that like negative emotional resistance. And so instead of seeing it as like this big thing that requires a lot of effort, you know, I've been reading a lot of Atomic Habits, legendary book. I've been reading a lot of, you know, Mini Habits, which is another book on the topic. And it's all about making stuff easy to implement and making it low emotional resistance. And rebranding exercise as movement has made it into more of a thing where instead of it being like this long period of time that maybe I don't want to do, it's almost like a tiny, easy thing, like just one push-up, or it's just like, it allows me to have a new relationship with that activity because I've like rebranded it for me. And so I've been doing like one push-up because it's like such an easy win. This is a topic from Mini Habits. It's a great book, highly recommended for all ADHDers. Because it's so easy to just do one push-up, then I almost decrease my resistance to beginning exercise / movement. And it means that like I've been doing all of these mini habits through the day. And I've been doing random push-ups and like I've been like squatting and I've been like I've got weights out all the time and I'm visually triggered by seeing the weights. And it's almost makes it more of a kind of casual thing than a serious formal thing. And so I wanted to have just a chat about how we can reword things to make our life easier, especially if we're trying to implement healthy habits.
Yeah. Well, one of the responses from someone in the community, it was, I indeed replaced exercise with movement, which helps me be less harsh for myself. So, yeah, it's a thing that people do.
Because we don't want to trigger the guilt spiral, you know, and be like, oh, I didn't do it, therefore I'm suck. another way that I've done it for me is I have a lot of emotional resistance to going to bed. I always want to stay up all night. I want to watch YouTube till 8 a.m., you know? What are you doing? Why are you turning your camera? Are you looking at your cat again?
Showing you guys. My cat.
What are you doing?
I have my kickboxing gloves, like, hanging over my door so that they air out. And my cat's on the other side of the door. And then my kickboxing wraps were just, like, moving up the door. Anyway,
whoa, like a mysterious magic trick. Well, at least it's relatable. We are real ADHDers, and that's why this information is good. We get distracted too. Like, we always think of ourselves, oh, look at us dispensing wisdom, but we're just like, I don't know, I still struggle with a bunch of stuff, and that's why That's why I'm like trying to learn as much as I can. But I was saying that I've reframed going to bed as relaxed time in bed. Because I think the pressure to go to sleep freaks me out. For some reason, I don't know why. It really does freak me out. And I don't know why. I always got told to go to bed and like it was a bad thing. So I have a negative relationship with like going to bed. I always want to stay up. But rebranding it as just relaxing in bed, like without a phone, like I just put a podcast on and relax in bed. And therefore, at the end of my like evening routine, it's not like, oh no, the fun is over, which is what I've always felt. It's more like, oh, I get the opportunity. That's another reframe. I get the opportunity to go to bed rather than I have to go to bed. Yeah. And that's actually been humongous for me. I get to. Yeah, that's brilliant. It's not I have to do the dishes. I get to do the dishes. Like, maybe that works for you. Maybe it doesn't. But it works for me. God, you can do it. You get the opportunity to do the dishes. Like, it's so funny, like in mindful circles, they talk about how you can do the dishes. Like, that's such a good example of like a task that you don't want to do that may have a big emotional resistance, right? And so they say, do everything like you're trying to do a really good job at it or something. And actually seeing that, that's been a cool way that I've almost reframed in that. Try doing the dishes normally and just do it like default, and it's a bit annoying, right? But doing it as if it's like a game and I have to do it like the best I can makes it more entertaining for me. Do you know what I mean by that? Is that weird to say?
Yeah. Have you seen that? Oh, I forget what creator it is on Instagram, but he was like, he's been doing a series of like, if the world was made for people with ADHD, and it was like, you are Dishmaster 3000, you're on level 25. And it was like
I love that.
So that you it's a game system.
Yes.
And it's like, try and beat your last score of 1 minute and 35 seconds.
Oh, baby. Wait, should we do a role play? Okay, I'm a dishwasher 3000. Here we go. Like, you can charge yourself up. You know, like, sometimes before a podcast, we love to get ourselves hyped up. And it's a lot to say about, like, getting yourself in a state. And maybe next time before I do the dishes, I'll be like, okay, I am a dishwasher 3000. Time to kick butt. And I'm going to destroy it like it's the evil aliens coming to defend. And I must save humanity. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that phone game? Yeah. Have you heard of that phone game where it's like an app, and I forgot, I think it's called, I don't know what it's called. It might be called Zombie Run, but it's like, it puts zombies behind you while you run and you have to run away. Yeah, you know it?
Yeah.
Does it work? Have you ever done it? Huh?
I've not tried it, but he loved it. It was the only way he would run. So, you know.
Who? Your ex?
No, my old housemate.
But isn't that fascinating? It's always about tapping into these like default core emotions, like fear and like, because like we in typical survival society that we lived in for most of our like human existence as humanity, right? We only did run for a purpose. We never ran just for exercise. We always ran for purpose. Like, we always run into like chase down an animal for a few hours or, you know, go find something. It was always like for a reason. Actually, my friend reframed running for me really nicely. Good old Jerry. Hello, Jerry, if you're listening. Thanks for this. He said...
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, we love Minecraft. Get over it. It's an amazing game. But he reframed running for me as... Okay, like, we never ran for no reason when we were a kid. Like, when we were a kid, we would run and we would, like, bounce off trees and we would, like, hop over logs, and it was almost more playful.
Because you're playing
tag. It was
tag.
A jolly occasion. Yeah. Yes, I fucking love tag or TIG or whatever you want to call it, or being it or whatever it is. But, like, he said, yeah, I don't go on normal runs anymore. I just go to a wood and I just play. And he's like frolicking around, jumping and rolling, and grab a tree, And I just think, look, and I was walking some dogs the other day, like I was dog sitting, I was walking these dogs, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn off the adult switch and I'm going to flick to childhood mode. And I started running with these dogs. And my God, you know what? It was the most beautiful moment. It was like they were running beside me and I felt the breeze on me. And I felt like, you know, I was a dog sticking my head out the window, feeling all that breeze. I hadn't felt the rush of it. You know, I haven't like even seen like, how, I couldn't remember how fast I could run. Like I forgot. And I think, I don't know, reframing running as like a playful thing, it just lit me up and it made me want to do it, because I feel like when we're trying to make a good habit, all we need is that one good, positive emotional spike, that big dopamine hit,
yeah,
you know, that says, that yeah, becomes a drug to our body and we want more. All we need is that first one. And just that running around with those dogs was like...
Just reminded me. of one of the people I follow on TikTok, and I've forgotten their username, but it's basically this guy and he calls himself like Brother Earth, but that's not his handle. And he goes around and he's just like, look at this moss. And he like feels the moss and he's like, how to yeet stick, yeet. Just it like makes me so happy watching those videos. And I was like, ah, wow, that's what I love. Just like, yeah. So that's
I think there's something to say about playfulness, because I think that like when we're kids, play is the default way we learn. We mess around with it and we aren't taking it so seriously. I think that as adults maybe we look at things a bit too logically, a bit too like conceptually, instead of like the best harmonica player I ever met taught me the biggest secret of life when about learning instruments, and I think this can be applied to everything, but I was like, how he couldn't read music or anything, but he had this ability to play the harmonica as if he was playing like four instruments at once. And I was hearing him and I was like, how did you learn to play? How did you do it? Like, what are you, how did you get there? And he said that, oh, his mum could play a harmonica. Like she was playing like five or six instruments. Like it was ridiculous. And he said that his mum always used to say that she would play the harmonica like she was a toddler trying to figure it out, or like a toddler would play with it. How loud can it go? How quiet can it go? How fast can she do it? How slow can she do it? How many things, how many rhythms can she keep in mind? And I think, I don't know, it's almost like a different neural network that you're using. It's like explorative and it has fun built in, which we love. We love fun. We love novelty as ADHDers, you know? And so I think there's a lot to say about reframing things in a fun and playful way. Like to-do lists are so boring.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless I reframe them in to fun ways. I'm like, how can I do this more fun?
Mission statement of the day.
Mission statement of the day, or challenge sheet. You know, to-do list freaks me out. That word, I hate that. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I would love to burn every to-do list in existence. Because for years of my life, I've daily challenge sheet. Like, that's so much more juicy. I think putting 3,000 on everything is pretty good, to be honest. Like, I used to have an Instagram account called Mind Explorer 3000, and it made me feel really cool. Yeah, just about drawing little ADHD.
Bedtime 3000.
Yeah, like what is the most annoying thing in my life with ADHD right now? Emotional regulation 3000. I wish. Oh, man. I almost want to hear from you guys at home. Like, have you reframed anything in your life? Send me a message on ADHD Explorers Instagram. It's just ADHD Explorers. Send me a message, because we want all the insights of just how to kick ass with ADHD. And that's basically what we're doing. Some more words.
I have been rephrasing things.
Yeah.
In my life. So instead of just like reframing, like things that you have to do, I started doing this like as a way of self-deprecation, I guess, but I'd just be like, I'm really good at losing things, or like, I'm really good at breaking things, instead of being like making it like a failure, like, oh, Yeah, oh, like, damn it, I lose things all the time. I'm really good at breaking stuff.
You know what? When I feel you. Like...
Yeah.
I call it like, so I lose things all the time as well, obviously. And I frame it as, oh, the magic fairy has come again. Oh, the magic fairy that loves to move things and make a treasure hunt for me. Oh, it's treasure hunt time. Because, like, oh, so easy. You can be like, fuck the world. I hate everything. I've lost so many things. Oh, I've lost my keys again. Mm-hmm. You know, instead, like, obviously, I have that beautiful tile now. It helps a bunch. Just fucking asking my phone where my keys are and it beeps. I love it. But I think having a magic fairy that just moves stuff for me, like, I think when I was in South Africa, I kept getting, like, pickpocketed. And I kept, like, losing all this cash. And I was like, oh, the magic fairy has come again and stolen all my money.
emotional denial.
The fairy must be as a thing. Struggling.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's like, I feel like often, I don't know. I just feel like you can make life a struggle, you know? You can get annoyed at so many things every day. And, like, sometimes I get notifications in my brain that say, hey, you could be really pissed off about this. It's time to be pissed off. And I'm just like, I just can't be bothered, actually. I'm actually going to not fight life, and I'm just going to surrender that sometimes life is shit, and that's all right. I wanted to share about battery. I love that word. Like, talking about words, I think, like, there's some, like, ADHD words that have been really useful for me. And I'm sure, like, maybe you guys know this already, but I love that topic of that word of spoons. Like, I didn't even know about giving away your spoons, but it represents your kind of, like, juice level, your battery level. And I think that sometimes we can be people pleasers because we want everyone to like us. Well, that's how I feel. I want to please everyone. I want everyone to like me all the time. And so I give away all my spoons, all my energy, my juice. And I think before I knew that concept, I was always giving away all my juice, running out of juice. I had no spoons for myself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a negotiation. I would just throw my spoons at people. Like, here you go. Take all of my energy. Drain me. Drain me till I can't do anything.
There's some discussion online about term spoons. Because I think it originally came from a physical disability activist, and so I've seen some comments on stuff of people being like, oh, the neurodivergent community is like co-opting the term spoons. And I'm like, well, like, if it works for people and it's a way to, like, get it across that you like don't have capacity for something, I don't know why it's such a bad thing, but I just thought I would mention that, like, to bear in mind, like, think about where it comes from. I think it was someone with CP. So it's just good to know where things come from and bear in mind that, like, there are people with different struggles and,
And it's not like different realities can't coexist. Like, battery, juice, whatever you want to call it. But,
and it's not
you
like,
know, like, everyone's got
it's not like
realities.
There's a significant number of neurodivergent people with physical disabilities, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there.
Like, everyone's struggling in their own way, you know, no matter who, like, you know, and I know it's all relative and I know that, like, people got bigger problems than others, but I feel like in terms of the ADHD community, that term has been really helpful. They're talking about controversial words. What do you think of calling ADHD a superpower? That is very, I'd say that some people really love that and some people are like, fuck that. ADHD is so annoying and hard. Don't you dare call it a superpower. What do you think about that?
I think if it works for you, then run with it, right? Like, as long as you're not trying to dismiss people's struggles in that, you can say, like, ADHD is my superpower, right? That's fine. You can phrase it that way. I'm super creative. I think out of the box. I have, like, tons of energy when I'm motivated about something. Look at those positives. Sure. But so long as you're not then dismissing the real struggles that people do go through. But I think people find it triggering when And I think you've mentioned this before, like when people are not in that phase of growth themselves and they are stuck in that point of feeling like the world is against them. And everyone, you know, has different levels of
what they've struggled with.
But then people find that offensive, right? They're like, it's not a superpower. My life is so hard. You don't understand. It's like, no, it is fucking hard.
Yeah.
So
it is.
Yeah, I think if it was you, but don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because its original intention, I think, was good. You know, I think that, you know, there has been such a stigma around ADHD being a negative thing, you know. What's ADHD? Oh my gosh, I should be fired. But I think that, I don't know, for me, there's this book by Peter Shankman, Faster Than Normal. It was one of the first ADHD books I read, and it kind of introduces ADHD in not just a negative way. It faces the reality of the negative things, but I think for me, as a newly diagnosed ADHD like 3 or 4 years ago, it helped me to see it as a superpower, you know, because I didn't have to feel the guilt and it didn't trigger the guilt spiral. It allowed me to see it in a positive way for the first time, because I think that I always shrugged off ADHD as a bad thing that I didn't want to be associated with just because I didn't understand what it really was. And I think that ADHD, now looking at it, I call it a superpower, and I'd call it, you know, I think that, like, we always think that it can only be one thing, but everything is multifaceted, just in the same way that we all have different perspectives and we look at the same thing and see different things. You know, you can describe it as a superpower, but you can also describe it as a fucking annoying piece of crap at the same time, you know? Like, that's fine. Oh, man. It's funny. So,
I think,
yeah,
we got onto this topic because you sent across a post from Authentically ADHD, and they had some suggested reframes. So they had, like, instead of saying success comes from consistency, try success comes from experimentation and commitment to what works for you. And instead of anything worth doing is worth doing well, try anything worth doing is worth taking messy action on and learning as you go.
Oh my gosh, I could talk about those forever. Messy action. I love that kind of concept.
Just do it.
It allows that.
I
think I always, you know, when you're trying to tidy your room and, you know, there's all of these, like, structures that the online ADHD community recommend, you know, like grab a basket and go around clockwise and put all the clutter, which is stuff you define as stuff that isn't in the right place, put it in the basket. And there's like these systems that you can do, right? And I think there's so many of them that sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm a shit person because I can't do it the proper way. Whatever. But I think that I've reframing the whole ADHD experience is kind of like, oh, I'm allowed to do it in my own way. I'm allowed to flicker between tasks.
Yeah.
You know, it gets done at the end of the day. I just love
a messy goblin.
A messy goblin. A beautiful messy goblin. And it's a lifestyle, you know? Like, I feel like I still get stuff done. It's just not linearly. It's,
yeah,
whatever the other one is. Non-linearly. Diagonally. It's a diagonal goblin lifestyle. And it's fine to jump around and do random things. Messy goblin lifestyle forever, you know? We're still loving people.
Messy goblin life!
We just love to jump around. And what? I think that...
on a t-shirt.
Oh, we'll make merch, I'm sure. I mean, Art is the guy that runs ADHDers. He's such a business wizard. He'll probably have one tomorrow. Oh, we made the merch! You talk about messy goblins! Oh, I'm just really glad that we've had the opportunity to learn all these, like, ways of seeing it, you know, having a different outlook on life,
yeah,
and having a different kind of brain isn't a bad thing. It's just different to the norm, and I think allowing that So and surrendering to that style is great. Yeah?
Yeah. I have another couple of responses from the community. So
okay.
One of them says, a long time ago, I had a big issue with expressing gratitude. I found the idea a bit wacky, especially that I was in a dark spot in my life, but watching a lot of content on reframing the way we see the world and how it changes our perspective, thus our life quality, I decided to reframe the idea of finally this happened to me, or oh my God, I waited for too long, to I'm super grateful today, or I'm grateful this happened, and oh boy, did my life slowly but steadily change. I didn't notice the change immediately, but right now I have fulfilling friendships. It's great. So it's like, yeah, that whole idea of gratitude is kind of a type of reframing, right? Instead of seeing things as like, oh, finally things went well, you can start being like, oh, I'm super grateful that I am now in a place where this has happened, you know?
I honestly, I love studying different religions and their outlook on life, and every single like mainstream religion has some sort of gratitude practice. And I think it's because it is just so effective at making things work better. Like when you have a community of people that all are just grateful for what is rather than what could be, or I don't know, it almost gives you permission to start where you are. You know, there's nothing to fight. It's like, okay, I'm grateful.
Yeah, they've done tests that it like literally changes the way that you see the world, right? You start expressing gratitude and you start then seeing more of the positive things that are happening around you. And that is just an overall type of reframing that works.
So how did that person do it again? Like, because I want to do it, what they did. They started to reframe things as
So instead of saying, it's finally happened to me, you know, like, oh, it's been forever, like, finally something good. They would start saying, I'm super grateful today, or I'm grateful that this happened. And recognizing, like, the small wins. And then, yeah, it just changed over time. They said it was slow change, but yeah.
Well, I love that. Because I think that I have, you know, go on.
No, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I was just going to say that, like, I don't know. I feel like as ADHDers, and I know from my perspective, like there's been a lot of times where I've not done homework and I've not done my to-do list for years, and I've been putting off and super avoidance pattern, right? I love to avoid things. And I think that what you said there with, oh, it's been, instead of saying, oh, it's been so long, I feel so crap about myself, finally, I guess I'll get it done. Instead of that, it's really, honestly, it almost makes me emotional, like relieved to be like, oh, you mean I don't have to suffer that guilt when I want to get something done? I can just take it from where I am, be grateful that I get the time and opportunity to do these things, and I get to enjoy it. You know, I don't have to dread or drag myself through it. It can, God, reframing. I'm here for it. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. What's another one then? What? Give me the insights, yo.
So another response was, they said, reframing doesn't really help with my ADHD executive function, to be honest, which fair, executive function is a hard thing to deal with. But I am still /also in therapy for depression, wording things in a way that makes them seem less terrifying, overwhelming, pressuring was definitely a game changer for me. I don't get crippling anxiety as much when facing simple tasks. Yeah.
Yes. I want to say here that, like, I understand, like, there's this pattern in ADHD where we're in, like, crippling depression and our capacity is very low. We feel like we don't have the ability to do tasks because, you know, the emotional spikes are so strong. They take us into disassociation, all these things, right? And I think that even whatever it is that can help you do a small task or to even just believe that you can do it, it's just really relieving, actually, when you feel so stuck. So thanks for sharing that. I love that. I love you, community.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping us work all this out. That's awesome. Is there any more?
Someone else who did something similar on this was the ADHD love. So they're the ADHD couple, Rich and Rocks. She has ADHD, he doesn't. And they've got a series at the moment of how to speak to someone with ADHD. And it can also be then taken as how to speak to yourself, because I think sometimes we use a lot of that like ableist, neurotypical language towards ourselves. And they have things like saying, instead of, oh, it's really messy in here, you should tidy up, saying, do you need help tidying this up? And that works like if you're speaking to your ADHD partner, but maybe rephrasing it for yourself instead of being like, oh, I should tidy this, but being like, I could do a little bit of tidying. Like,
yeah.
And reframing things. So it's kinder. Just be kinder.
Yeah. Like we talked about this a little bit in Get Shit Done episode where it's almost like it's called, Seb called it juicing up the list, where you have your to-do list and then you look at each one and you reframe it into something that is emotionally compelling for you. So that is, you know, maybe instead of saying run, which is kind of intimidating, or go on a run, and instead you say...
run 3,000.
Have the opportunity to be playful with my body. I have the opportunity to be wiggle around and pretend maybe I'm an alien like inhabiting this body and I get to play around, see what I can do. And I don't know, for me that would work. But whatever it is for you, that would make you feel more motivated to run, then that's fucking good time. That is a fucking good time. Well, nice. Right. Any more? Yeah. Should we call it there then?
Yeah, for now.
Nice.
This episode got very silly for some reason, but
yeah, I don't know. It's nice to be silly, playful. Yo, guys, hey. Check that out. We're at ADHDers. We're just a bunch of ADHDers. You know that already. Hopefully, if not, we are. but we have this resource library that we put together of just helpful, like ebooks that you can go through, and we cover all these different topics like sleep and getting things done and emotional regulation or whatever. And it's all on ADHDoers.com, and it's like pay what you feel. I think there's a minimum cost, but if you can't afford it, email us at our email that's on ADHDoers.com. I don't know what it is off my heart. But anyway, we have a giant resource library and it's really good. So check it out. I hope this has been useful. If it's been useful, send it to some people that need it. We love you. Yeah. Keep smashing the good smash. Yeah, we have an Instagram
account now, ADHD Explorers. Give us a follow. And whatever platform you listen on, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is apparently becoming YouTube Music soon, whatever you listen on, give us a rating. And if you can leave a review, we really appreciate it. It helps us get out to people in the world.
So to do a little outro, I forgot to do a jingle, so I just want to do it now. Here you go.
Get ready for the quick tips. Oh, baby, got the quick tips.
Oh, you know what? I actually did want to share a quick tip, and I forgot, but the jingle helped me remember. There is this phenomenon, which has really weirdly helped me, and I have no idea why. Maybe we can all work it out together, which has been when there's a task I have to do, this is so freaking weird. I don't know why this helps so much, but I just count in my head for each physical task. Let's say I need to journal. I go one, take the lid off, two, three. And I don't know what it is about it, but it just stops me from getting distracted during the task. And I feel like I want to do it more. And it's easier. Like even when I step into the car, I go one, open the door, two, sit down, three, turn the key. And for some reason, it makes everything flow. And I have no idea why, but like, hey, let me know if that's useful to you guys or like what the hell is going on there. I just don't feel distracted. So, yahoo. Keep it real. I love you guys. Enjoy. Okay. Peace.
Thanks. Bye-bye.